Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Peyton Jones guides us through the Old Testament book of Leviticus. Now to Pastor Peyton.
Leviticus chapter 16 today on Through the Word. Today we'll be talking about the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur. And it was a day in which Aaron was warned not to come before the Lord without blood, lest he be killed. Let's look at verses 1, 2, and 3. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they drew near before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron your brother not to come at any time into the holy place inside the veil, before the mercy seat that is on the ark, so that he may not die. For I will appear in the cloud over the mercy seat." This was a big deal. Aaron was actually being required to come into the Holy of Holies, the very presence of God. God was saying, "I will be in the room with you." Talk about freaking somebody out. But if he brings the blood of a bull for a sin offering and the blood of a ram for a burnt offering for himself and his own sins, and then two male goats for a sin offering and one ram for a burnt offering, all that blood being paraded before Aaron would almost serve as an appeasement or a buffer between him and God, keeping him alive. Verse 7 says, "Then he shall take two goats and set them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Aaron shall cast lots over the two goats, one for the Lord and the other for Azazel. And Aaron shall present the goat on which the lot fell for the Lord and use it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell for Azazel shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement over it, that it may be sent away into the wilderness of Azazel." Now, goats weren't like sheep to the Jewish mind. Sheep were seen as innocent. Goats were not. In fact, goats were mischievous and ate everything. You often wanted to kill your goats anyways. In a culture where you often killed your animals for food, it wasn't as shocking as it would be to us. But this is the only ceremony where a goat was used. And here, one was killed and the other was set free. One wicked beastie was punished and the other wicked beastie went free. Sound familiar? This is a picture of us and Jesus. Barabbas became a picture of the wicked one who was set free on the day where Jesus was paraded in front of the people. Jesus paid the price while guilty Barabbas was set free into the wilderness. Christ was made sin for us like that goat. He died the guilty one. But here's the kicker. Aaron is prepping himself, getting ready to go into the presence of God, and verse 11 tells us that he has to kill something first. The blood of that animal serves as a buffer to keep him alive so that he can offer the incense. The incense fills the room, covers the Ark of the Covenant, and serves as yet another buffer between Aaron and the presence of God. Verse 14 tells us that after Aaron sacrificed the animals, he had to sprinkle the mercy seat seven times, the number of completion showing complete and utter atonement or forgiveness. Now, this is important. You may remember the mercy seat or the Ark of the Covenant from the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark. The mercy seat was the lid, and on that lid, you may remember, were two angels hunched or arched over with their wings almost touching in the middle, as if they were ready to pounce or strike, looking down towards the lid or the top of the Ark of the Covenant. That lid or that space which they were looking at was called the mercy seat. In fact, you could almost say that they were looking through it, because what those angels were actually looking at was the broken covenant, the tablets of stone that Moses put with all of the requirements of the law inside the Ark of the Covenant, which served as a type of chest. Those gold-sculpted seraphim or angels were powerful. You may remember that one angel killed 185,000 soldiers. Therefore, two was a force to be reckoned with. As those angels are ready, pounce to strike, the blood covers the mercy seat and interrupts their field of view so that they no longer see the broken covenant, but instead they see the blood covering over. Their eyes rest on the blood and they are eternally stayed from execution in that position, ready to pounce, but still held back. By what? The blood of Christ, or in this case, the symbol of the blood of Jesus. The Day of Atonement is a graphic picture of God's wrath being stayed or averted. Those angels hold back in mercy. Thus, it becomes the mercy seat. This is where the presence of God was said to come and to rest, right in between those angels, right in the place of mercy. This is where God wanted to be with his people, not in judgment, but in grace. Verse 15 through 19 outlines that the blood of the goat must be sprinkled in much the same way as we've already seen in the chapter. Verse 16 telling us, "Thus he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the people of Israel and because of their transgressions." The passage goes on to state that the blood of all those animals has to come back out in front of the tent of meeting where the altar is, and there the blood covered over the horns of the altar. Remember, the horns of the altar also signify judgment. Therefore, the threatening points of God's wrath are also covered over. In verse 20, we see what happens to the live goat. The one goat has been slaughtered, but what about the one that's still alive? The priest lays his hand on the head of the goat, confessing the sins of the people. Verse 22 reads, "The goat shall bear all the iniquities on itself to a remote area, and he shall let the goat go free into the wilderness." This pictures a couple of things to us. One, God removes our sin far away from us. And number two, he sets us free. Verse 23 to 28 has to do with the washing up afterwards. Aaron was to take a bath as if to wash all the sin off of himself. This is because the Day of Atonement has to do with cleansing sin from the presence of the people of Israel. Verse 30 says, "For on this day shall atonement be made for you to cleanse you. You shall be clean before the Lord for all your sins." He tells them in the final passage that it shall be a statute forever. In the seventh month, on the 10th day of the month, you shall afflict yourselves and do no work. Once a year, and today it's still celebrated by the Jewish community, the day of Yom Kippur. It's a day of mourning. Oh, happy day! Happy day! You wash my sin away. Well, in the Old Testament feast, God wanted them to somberly reflect, kind of like communion. We mull over our sins, we examine our hearts, and we meditate on the fact that something precious was sacrificed for us that we could go free. Jesus said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." And God provided a scapegoat for us, a government patsy, you might say. You may have heard about the fishwife who said to her husband once upon a time, "I'm not saying it was your fault. I said I was going to blame you." In this case, God blamed Christ for our sin. He became the scapegoat, the one who took the blame, so that we could go free. It wasn't Christ's fault, but the Father blamed him anyways, and Jesus willingly took the blame, a willing sacrifice, a willing scapegoat, so that you could run free. Read Leviticus chapter 16 today, and as you do, worship Jesus, who is sitting on the mercy seat.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Peyton Jones is the co-host of the Church Planter Podcast and author of the book Church Zero. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.